I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund. And this must be then the next page. Marissa, how are you?
I am terrific. How are you?
Whoa. I'm okay. No, I am terrific as well because we get to do a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We get to add value to people.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to talk about cellular issues.
Yes.
Well, not really.
We get to...
data transmission speeds.
Oh, yeah.
Cellular issues could be anything. Like, I've got a cellular problem. Who knows?
You know, we learned something when we researched this.
We did. So I never, you know, I remember when 3G... So the title of today's post and today's podcast is Don't Forget About 3G. And people are like, 3G, Dave, that is so old.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do remember. Do you remember your first cell phone?
Yes.
What was it like?
It was a flip phone and like nothing was in color. It was all black and white. And you had to, it was like the T9 keyboard where you had to like hit, you know, 333-5522 to type anything.
Yes.
And
I bet you were quick at that.
Yeah, I got real quick. And that was back in the day when, like, you didn't have unlimited text plans. And my mom every month would be like, who are you talking to?
Right.
Because I had so many text messages. But
she
I was
would
always,
know how many texts you sent.
Yeah. Because I was always, like, I loved to talk on the phone. I loved calling people. And then it was like, now I can talk and text. Sign me
up.
At
the same time.
Yes.
Exactly.
And I think that was like probably even before 3G. Like there had to be something before 3G, right?
2G.
Yeah.
There was 2G. I don't know if we ever had G. Probably back then G was just a rating for movies. Who knows? But I remember my first cell phone kind of looked like a peanut. It was kind of, it wasn't a flip phone.
Mm-hmm.
I was so excited when I got a flip, but it was, and it was pretty big.
Yeah.
But I still wore it on my hip. And I remember I actually lost it downtown once.
Oh, wow.
And we were doing something, maybe going to this. We parked near the dinosaur and we had to walk to the skating rink or something in Clinton Square. And all of a sudden I got home and like, where's my phone? And believe it or not, some very kind gentleman found it and called me. You know, and... how he called me, I don't know. And he just said, I found your phone. Or maybe I called the number, something like that. But he goes, hey, I found your phone. I must have called him because there's no way he would have known to call me. I called the phone and he answered and said, listen, I found this phone. I knew somebody would call. You can pick it up here at my apartment. And it was like, wow, that was like heart palpitations.
There was no find my iPhone.
Yeah, there was no find your phone back then. But I was like horrible at trying to text on that. But all I was trying to do was make a phone call once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But then we went from 3G to 4G. And then there was 4G LTE. And I was sure LTE meant light. And it doesn't. So I really thought that G had some scientific term or LTE. It didn't. G just meant generation. And LTE was long-term evolution. And like, are you serious? And so now there's 5G, and I don't even know. I guess it's just speed. But the 3G I want to talk about, and I heard this a couple weeks ago when I was listening to a podcast, 3G stands for grounded, gifted, and growing. And when we're looking for leaders, just remember 3G. If you're looking for the next leader to advance in your organization or a leader to put on a team, find somebody who is grounded, gifted, and growing.
Mm-hmm.
And as I did a deep dive in thinking through these things, that's really what we need. If we think about just those three things, and I really think in that order, grounded, gifted, and growing. So let's start with the first one, the grounded one. And I've heard this many, many times that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about that, this really tells us why it is so critical for a leader to be grounded. We can all think about people who were given power and it went nuts. It went to their head. they felt that they could utilize that power to influence people to, in some cases, do horrible, evil things, immoral things, whatever, you know, they abused it is clearly what they did. So we really, really need to look at this first piece here. Is this person grounded? And I'm sure people are saying, so what do you mean by grounded? I think the first thing is, for somebody to be grounded, they need to know who they are. And you and I, before we hit record, we talked about the why.
Mm-hmm.
I think anybody who has a why that isn't about others can't be a leader. Now, does that sound like a too bold of a statement?
I'm processing. My brain is moving at a 3G speed right now, so.
take your time.
Yeah,
If a person's why is not mm-hmm. about others, they can't lead.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. You think about how someone who is grounded has great character.
Right.
Which kind of goes hand in hand with that statement. It's not about them or their ego or recognition.
Right.
It's about others.
Yes. Now, you know, what we will notice, though, is that most people who like to lead have a high level of ego. So often we think about ego as something that's really, really bad, but mm-hmm. Maybe we can use the word confidence instead of ego, because ego is more inward focused, I guess. But if you're going to lead, you got to be a person that has confidence, that understands that you're going to be in the limelight, and that's okay. And there's nothing really wrong with that. But the reason you do it has to be to help other people. You know, when we talked about the C's, I don't know how many 3 C's we had. Well, we're doing a lot with the alphabet here.
Yeah.
You know, but because we did talk about character
mm-hmm.
as one of the cornerstones of leadership. And you're right, character is, you can't have people that are low in character, that will sell out their team, that will sell out people, that will sell out what's right to advance their agenda. And that's character. You know, character is really having that inner courage to stand up for your beliefs, regardless of what people say about it, regardless of what people think about it. You got to speak up, and unless a person is grounded, they won't. And think about, let's say you're an emerging leader in an organization, and a senior leader is being maybe not abusive, but overly hard on your team. If you're not grounded enough to stand up in a private meeting, I don't call them out publicly, but in a private meeting, say, listen, you know, I'm sorry, but I just can't support that. These are my people. If you have a problem with something they're doing, you come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about with being grounded. It's not about you. It's always about your team. You know, when we give people power and they're not grounded and it's not about others, you can see teams blow up. You can have people that are extremely gifted just shut down. And I'm thinking of a situation with one of my coaching clients where, and I really need to talk to him about maybe allowing us to interview him for a podcast, because he is a phenomenal leader today, and his 360 was horrible. And when I started working with him, you know, he was telling me that he was very successful at what he did, and he was, to a point, but what he got from people was compliance. And people shut down their giftedness. Now, the nice part for him, and I love working with him, is when as soon as he recognized why he was acting the way he was and that it was inappropriate, and he would shout at people and swear at people and that type of thing. Once he realized how people were feeling, he changed almost immediately.
Wow.
And so now his team is just flourishing
mm-hmm.
to the point that the organization where he works is asked him to focus now on improving systems in the organization because the team is just doing well. So that's this part. That's how important being grounded was. And if first I would have thought maybe he wasn't that grounded, but he was. As soon as he saw how he really was, he recognized that it's not about him. It's about others. And man, what a trajectory this gentleman's been on. It's amazing. So that grounded piece is huge. Giftedness. So our second G. You know, some may say that we overuse this word, but I don't think so, because the reality of giftedness is when leadership is hard, it is really hard, and you have to have something inside of you that energizes you when you're given the opportunity to lead. And that's why I say everybody's gifted. All of us have multiple gifts, but some are gifted in this leadership role where they see things others don't see, so they might have some vision that others don't see. They look at a mess and say, this is an opportunity, not a burden, not a challenge, not a challenge in a bad way. They see challenges as opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may see a team that just is struggling and say, you know what, all the right pieces are there. We just need to figure out how to connect them. So you want people that are gifted, but leadership is really, really hard. It's messy. And I made a note for us to talk about is, you know, and I've said this on the podcast, I remember a day when I called home on my way home and I basically said to my wife, you know, God didn't put me on this earth to make people happy. And she didn't criticize me, but she just said, wow, that's interesting. What's going on? So she took me through a path of discussing it. But the reality is that if you're a leader, yeah, you maybe not be put on this earth to make people happy, but you are put on this earth to add value to other people. And it's exhausting. Why do you think leadership is so exhausting?
You know, it's a lot of practicing like awareness and,
oh yeah, yep,
you know, like maintaining your stress and maintaining, yes, you know, leading meetings, having difficult conversations,
right,
helping others break through, yep, you know, whatever they need to break through. And
sure,
there's a lot. It's, you know, I lead my little humans all day long. It's, well, a little, yeah, bit different, are, but it's, yes, you know, it's like, it's a lot to put yourself out there and to think strategically and to then develop others, which is, right, a big responsibility of leaders, is to find, yes, other people that are grounded, gifted, and growing, and help them nourish that and flourish,
right,
and be the next generation.
Exactly. You know, it's very similar to parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we've talked about on the podcast where Dave Ramsey says, if you hire someone, you have to choose to love them. It doesn't mean we like them, but it means we do choose to love them. And loving people is rewarding, but exhausting, because you have to be there for them.
Yeah.
And we have to realize that, you know, if I have a person that works for me, that's one of my team members, what are they going through in their life? Are they wrestling with aging parents? Are they wrestling with teenage kids that might be rebellious? Are they wrestling, mm-hmm, with toddlers that don't sleep? You know, I remember, yeah, there was one point where when Tim, our youngest, was born, our three other kids slept in. We had a dining room, living room that didn't have any furniture in it yet. We literally moved a mattress in there to get our other kids far enough away from Tim when he would scream at night that he wouldn't wake them up. I mean, I'm thinking, so
survival.
Survival. And it was a long time. And I'm thinking, how many days did I go to work with limited sleep? It's hard. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful that my bosses didn't say, well, boy, is he grumpy today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were more concerned about the whole individual. And so leadership, if we're going to be a leader, you know, we need to have this giftedness that says, this is all about that other person. And how can I, and we need to get excited about helping other people grow and helping other people develop. Because we realize this giftedness in leadership, that person realizes that, to use the phrase, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah.
So if the organization has this wonderful, nurturing, growing mindset, everything's going to get better. The people get better, sales get better, quality gets better, revenues improve. And when that's lacking, all of those things start to tank. There is one thing, though, that I put in here, and that's you need to prioritize rest and downtime. A leader can't go all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember once, and I was sharing this with you before we hit record, that I had a stretch where I had these extended responsibilities outside of work, and it was a six-year period where I was having to do a lot of things for my church. And at one point, I traveled 9 out of 11 weekends.
Wow.
And I remember going to my doctor because I couldn't, and our listeners already know that I always have upper respiratory issues. I went to my doctor and I just said, you know, listen, what's wrong with me now? And basically he just said to me, when are you going to rest? I said, what do you mean? He goes, until you're going to tell me that you're going to rest, I'm going to tell you you're not getting better. And so I literally had to say no to a couple events that I should have gone to. And you know what? Just 2 weeks of, I didn't stay home from work, but 2 weeks of scaling back my level of stress and my travel, I felt better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say that if I could go do that again, I would have taken time off work. Because when we keep pushing it, even if we're gifted in leadership, if you don't prioritize rest, you become a bad leader, which is known as a boss.
Well, and I imagine it's difficult to stay grounded when you're not rested.
Right. You can't. You're exactly right. Actually, all three of these, the gift, the grounded, the gifted, and the growing, you can't do when you're exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very good point. When we're exhausted, our grounding even gets shaken. And we become much more self-focused because we're miserable.
Yep.
Physically, emotionally, mentally, we're just miserable. So for all of this to work, you really, really, really need to prioritize downtime. I worked for a company once, and the owner, it was a Swiss company, and the owner said he wanted us to always take at least 2 weeks of vacation at a time, because he said it takes you a week to be able to relax enough to rest.
Sign me up.
My statement was going to be, and I never heeded that advice. The longest I ever took, I think, was 10 days. Because we traveled to Europe with our family. So, but it's true if you think about it, you know, unless you practice it. So I'm thinking his name was Ernst Neunschwander. He had a name that was, I don't know, his last name was huge. But I'm thinking that you might be able to learn to relax quicker.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, what are your thoughts? You think that becoming more aware of learning how to be mindful, that we can learn to relax quicker? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. If you think about it, if you're practicing this rest, you know, if you're practicing resting, whether it be just by building it into your schedule or taking a nap, you know, essentially you're training yourself to use that as a coping mechanism.
Right.
So I think that makes complete sense. And it allows you to, I think, to manage your overall stress, or as things come your way, you can tackle them more appropriately and recognize and more quickly recognize when you need that downtime.
Absolutely. And you know what? I think we just figured out what we're going to talk about next.
Downtime? Rest?
Resting. Resting and downtime.
I love
rest.
Does
that make sense to you?
Yes.
Yeah. I think I need to work on that. And my guess is you do too. So together we'll study it this week and we'll talk about it next week. So let's jump into the last one of the three G's, growing. Now, you know, anybody that's ever read my writing or listened to this podcast knows that at some point I'm going to get to growth.
Mm-hmm.
It is critical that we find people who are growing. Don't expect a person to grow when you give them the opportunity to lead, because then they're going to grow for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I want somebody who's growing before I give them the opportunity to lead. And you can tell when a person's growing. There's an excitement about them. There's an energy about them. They are always looking to improve. Now, they're going to be a tougher person to manage, but an easier person to lead. So let me explain what I mean.
Yeah,
by that.
Explain that.
So they're going to be tougher to manage because they're going to challenge you more.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be able to keep them in a box. And even good leaders from time to time get tired and try to keep people in a box. Great leaders don't. Great leaders are always trying to expand the box and expand the boundaries for their people to develop. But let's face it, we just talked about it. Sometimes we get tired and we become more a boss than a leader. So bosses want to control things. Leaders want to expand and make things better for people. So that person that's growing is going to be really, really hard to control, because they will always say, but you know, why? I just saw this. Why can't this happen? And that's something we need to foster in our teams. Did that answer make sense?
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. But okay. I also think there will be situations where it's a little bit more passive or silent, where someone might be doing their own, you know, growth work on the side that,
yep,
that comes out in other ways. Like you might notice that they are behaving differently in meetings.
Yes.
Or like taking on other things or help working with other people in different ways. Yep. So I think sometimes you have to be a little bit more aware, because it might not always be right in front of you that
people
are growing.
Yeah. Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah. And the best leaders are looking for that in people. You know, where is something shifting? Where is something changing? And the other thing that can happen is a good leaders will, you know, one of the things we talk about a lot when we talk about facilitating meetings is good leaders will say something like, what am I missing? Is mm-hmm. there anything that we didn't cover? And somebody that's growing is going to have some answers to that question,
mm-hmm.
because they're thinking in an expanded way. So, we're, you know, the people that are growing, we're going to notice it. They're going to be different. There's going to be a change that's occurring with them. Over time, we're going to be able, and hopefully we're having enough conversations, enough one-on-ones, we're going to see that. They're going to be somewhat excited, and they're going to be looking forward to things. There's an energy, there's a palpable energy in someone who is growing. And they're fun to be around. You know, they're sharing news that people, they're sharing what they're learning. And when mm-hmm. you share what you learn, you want to be around that person.
Yeah.
I made a statement in my notes that I sent you is, you know, without growth, you can't even lead yourself. Does that sound like a brazen statement?
Does it
make sense?
No, I think that makes sense.
And because as I was typing it, I'm thinking, you know, Dave, that's a really bold statement, but it's true. If I think back of the people that I've had the privilege to lead over my lifetime, those that weren't growing, it's almost as though I had to babysit them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you think about it, like with our children, you know, you've got three lovely young girls, little girls, and as you see every year,
I've got three. No, I don't.
I'm sorry, two. Whoa! I added one to your family. You have two lovely.
I have
young
two.
Yeah, man, where'd the third one come from?
My dad listens to this podcast, and he's going to be like...
He goes, uh-oh.
Dad, there's only two.
There's only two. Yep, Dad, don't worry, there are only two. So you have these two, and I guess I kept thinking, how old's Isla?
She'll be four, so she's almost three. She's three.
So maybe I was thinking age. Anyways. Or it's just a senior moment, let's just face it. The brain isn't what it used to be. But as you watch them, as they mature... They need less daily attention in terms of for the basic life-sustaining kind of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden they can begin to eat for themselves. All of a sudden, you know, we can potty train them. You know, all of a sudden they can put their clothes on themselves. And it's because they're growing. They don't need that intense care all the time. Now, you know, this is something you wouldn't know about yet, but even when they are mature and off on their own, there's still some things that you still worry about and you still try to help.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happens with the people that we lead. If they don't grow, we got to babysit them, and that's a problem. So we really need to always keep folks growing. Without being intentional about growth, you're not going to grow. You can tell that, again, I talked about there's an excitement about them. They look forward to each day. They look forward to experiences. They're going to feel that you know, when you place a big challenge on them, it's not a burden, it's an opportunity. And if you can't see this in a person, it doesn't mean they're a bad person, but it probably means they shouldn't be put in a leadership position. Doesn't make them bad. It just means they're probably not the person that's going to lead the team. So, and I don't think I need to say more about growth because we've done whole podcasts on it. But really, just remember the 3G when we think about our leaders. Are they grounded, gifted, and growing? If you see somebody that has those 3G, that is 3G, give them an opportunity. Because they may surprise you. And they may be people that, if you think about it, they may be the most unlikely, because any behavior profile can lead. So we talked about this, and we talked about the DISC behavior profiles. And too many people think that only the D's and the I's can lead. No, anyone can lead if they're gifted in leadership, and they will lead in a very unique and special way. So do you think I exhausted my topic of 3G?
I think I actually have one more question for you. So no.
Okay, go for it.
So all three of these, like, what if you see someone who's extremely grounded, very gifted, but maybe only slightly showing signs of growth? Is that something that you could nourish and help that person along the way so that they are completely like the whole package?
Absolutely. You know, I think growth is something that, well, and I've talked about this. I believe that as a society, we do not focus enough on growth. We focus mm-hmm. on goals.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about it. Like, when you go through school, people give you these goals, and we think that once you get this diploma, you're done. No, that's just a mile marker.
Mm-hmm.
So people that aren't taught to grow may not even understand what it means. So I think the greatest way now, so the question might be, so how do we teach people to grow? I think we model that.
Mm-hmm.
The leader has to be growing every day and showing excitement and passion about growth with their team. And you will see these people begin to pick up on it. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the leadership table. So if someone who is grounded and gifted, but there's just a few little sparks of growth, but nothing really happening, bring them to the leadership table and see if it catches.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can get them there. The one thing that I think is a deal breaker is grounded.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not grounded, don't go there.
Right. So the other two may not be as obvious, but that's... You know, yes. If you think that there's some glimmers of those three things, invite them to the table.
Right. And, I mean, the mm-hmm. giftedness one, it may be easier for us to see giftedness in the dominance in the influence behavior profile. It's going to be harder to recognize in the steadiness and the compliance.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be there.
Right.
And if we really know them, we will see it.
Mm-hmm.
But the grounded piece to me is the deal breaker. There's nothing worse than someone who's given a position of authority that's not grounded, because what you get is a mess. And it can take out your organization. So, and I've seen, you know, well, we can see if we just look at the history of corporations, we can see when someone became a leader who wasn't grounded. All of a sudden, you know, they lie, they cheat, they steal, you know, there's no moral compass, and the organization can flounder or fail.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Any other questions?
No, that was a great question. That answers it for me. Well, okay, I guess my last question is, what are we going to talk about next week? But we kind of already teased that. We think we're going to talk about rest and...
rest and downtime. Yeah. So, you know, we'll both do some homework. I'll try to get my point sketched out to you soon so you can see what I'm thinking about with that.
Great.
Because I think that's a skill that I think we all need to learn at a different level.
Mm-hmm.
How do we shut down quicker to rejuvenate so that we can make the most of the time that we're given? Because most organizations give X number of days of vacation time or paid time off. Well, if Mr. Neunschwander thought I needed 5 days to learn how to rest or to disconnect enough to rest, I just wasted a week of that PTO. But if I can figure out some tools to get there quicker, I get more time to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we'll talk about next week.
Great.
Any exciting plans coming up?
No, not really. I'm excited that spring is just around the corner.
Yes.
So just kind of preparing for that, hoping that we continue with this mild weather.
Yeah.
And see the sun. I cannot wait.
I'm looking forward to it as well. There's nothing like spring to give us some energy and to give us opportunities to get outside and breathe fresh air, which is awesome. So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.